flying at the brook, I saw not better sport this 7 years' day.
What a point, my lord, your falcon made, and what a pitch she flew above the rest, to see how God in all his creatures works. Yea, man and birds are fain of climbing high.
No marvel, and it like your majesty, my lord protector's hawks do tire so well. They know their master loves to be aloft, and bears his thoughts above his falcon's pitch.
My lord, 'tis but a basic noble mind that mounts no higher than a bird can soar.
I thought as much. He'd be above the clouds.
Aye, my lord cardinal, how think you by that? Were it not good your grace could fly to heaven?
The treasury of everlasting joy.
Thy heaven is on earth. Thine eyes and thoughts beat on a crown, the treasure of thy heart, pernicious protector, dangerous peer, that smoothed it so with king and common weal.
Churchmen so hot. Good uncle, can you do it? To hide such malice with such holiness.
No malice, sir. No more than well become so good a quarrel. And so bad a peer.
As who, my lord?
As yourself, my lord. And like your lordly lord protectorship.
Why, Suffolk, England knows thine insolence.
And thy ambition, Gloucester.
I prithee, peace, good queen, and whet not on these furious peers. For blessed are the peacemakers on earth.
Let me be blessed for the peace I make against this proud protector. With my sword.
Faith, holy uncle, would 'twere come to that.
Marry, when thou darest.
Dare? I tell thee, priest, Plantagenets could never brook the dare.
I am Plantagenet as well as thou. And son to Jonagaunt.
In bastardy.
I scorn thy words.
Make up no factious numbers for the matter. In thine own person answer thy abuse.
Where thou darest not peep, and if thou darest this evening on the east side of the grove.
How now, my lords?
Believe me, cousin Gloucester, had not your man put out the fowl so suddenly, we had had more sport. Come with thy two-hand sword.
True, uncle. Are you well advised? The east side of the grove.
No, I am with you.
Why, how now, uncle Gloucester?
Talking of hawking. Nothing else, my lord.
By God's mother, I'll shave your crown for this.
Protector, see to it well. Protect thyself.
The winds grow high, so do your stomachs, lords. How irksome is this music to my heart. When such strings jar, what hope of harmony? I pray, my lords, let me compound this strife.
What noise is this?
What a miracle!
Fellow, what miracle dost thou proclaim?
A miracle! A miracle!
Come to the king and tell him what miracle.
Forsooth, a blind man at St. Alban's shrine within this half hour hath received his sight, a man that ne'er saw in his life before.
God be praised that to believing souls gives light in darkness, comfort in despair.
Townsmen on procession to present your highness with the man.
Great is his comfort in his earthly veil, although by sight his sin be multiplied.
A miracle, a miracle, a miracle, a miracle, a miracle.
Stand by, my masters. Bring him near the king. His highness' pleasure is to talk with him.
Good fellow, tell us here the circumstance, that we for thee may glorify the Lord. What, hast thou been long blind and now restored?
Born blind, and please your grace.
Aye, indeed was he.
What woman is this?
His wife, and late your worship.
Hadst thou been his mother, thou couldst have better told.
Where wert thou born?
At Berwick in the north, and late your grace.
Poor soul. God's goodness hath been great to thee. Let never day nor night unhallowed pass, but still remember what the Lord hath done.
Tell me, good fellow, came thou here by chance or of devotion to this holy shrine?
God knows, of pure devotion, being called 100 times and oftener in me sleep, the good St. Alban, who said, Simon, come, come and offer at me shrine, and I will help thee.
Most true, forsooth. And many time and oft, myself have heard a voice to call him so.
What? Art thou lame?
Aye. God Almighty, help me.
How camest thou so?
A fall off of a tree.
A plum tree, master.
How long?
Hast thou been blind?
Oh, born so, master.
What? And wouldst climb a tree?
But that and all my life, when I was a youth.
Too true. And bought his claiming very dear.
Mass, thou lovedst plums well that would venture so.
Alas, master, me wife deserts and damsons and made me claim with danger of me life.
A subtle knave, but yet it shall not serve. Let me see thy eyes. Wink now. Now open. In my opinion, yet thou seest not well.
Aye, master, clear as day. I thank God and St. Alban.
Sayest thou so? What colour is this cloak of?
Red, master, red as blood.
Why, that's well said. And what colour is this gown of?
Black, forsooth. Coal black as jet.
Why, then, thou knowest what colour jet is of.
And yet, I think, jet did he never see.
But cloaks and gowns before this day are many.
Never before this day in all his life.
Tell me, sirrah, what's my name?
Alas, master, I know not.
What's his name?
I know not.
Nor his?
No, indeed, master.
And what's thine own name?
Saunders Simcox, if you please, you master.
Then, Saunders, sit thou there, the lyingest knave in Christendom. If thou hadst been born blind, thou mightst as well have known our names as thus to name the several colours we do wear. Sight may distinguish of colour, but suddenly to nominate them all, it is impossible. St. Alban here hath done a miracle. And might ye not think his cunning to be great that could restore this cripple to his legs?
Oh, master, that you could.
My masters of St. Albans, have you not a beadle in your town and things called whips?
Yes, my lord.
Send for one presently.
Sirrah, go fetch the beadle hither straight.
And fetch me a stool hither by and by. Now, sirrah, if you mean to save yourself from a whipping, leap me over this stool and run.
Alas, master, I'm not able to stand alone. You're gone a boot to torture me in vain.
Well, we must have you find your legs. Whip him till he leap over that same stool.
Come on, sir. Up your doublet, quickly.
Alas, master, what shall I do? I'm not able to stand. Ah!
Seest thou this and bearest so long?
Oh, it made me laugh to see the villain run.
Follow the knave! And take this drab away.
Alas, sir, we did it from pure need.
Let them be whipped through every market town until they come to Berwick from whence they came.
Duke Humphrey hath done a miracle today.
True. Made the lame to leap and fly away.
But you have done more miracles than I. You made in a day, my lord, whole towns to fly.
What tidings with our cousin Buckingham?
Such as my heart doth tremble to unfold. A sort of naughty persons, lewdly bent, under the countenance and confederacy of Lady Eleanor, the protector's wife, the ringleader and head of all this rout, have practiced dangerously against your state, dealing with witches and with conjurers, whom we have apprehended in the fact, raising up wicked spirits from underground, demanding of King Henry's life and death, and other of your highness privy council, as more at large your grace shall understand.
God, what mischief work the wicked ones, heaping confusion on their own heads thereby.
Gloucester, see here the taint here of thy nest. Look thyself, be faultless thou wert best.
Madam, for myself to heaven I do appeal how I have loved my king and common weal. And for my wife, I know not how it stands. Sorry I am to hear what I have heard. Noble she is. But if she hath forgot honor and virtue, and conversed with such as like to pitch defile nobility, I banish her my bed and company, and give her as a prey to law and shame, that hath dishonored Gloucester's honest name.
Well, for this night we will repose us here. Tomorrow toward London back again to look into this business thoroughly and call these foul offenders to their answers. And poise the cause in justice, equal scales, whose beam stands sure, whose rightful cause prevails.
Good lords of Salisbury and Warwick, our simple supper ended. Give me leave in this close walk to satisfy myself in craving your opinion of my title, which is infallible, to England's crown.
My lord, I long to hear it at full.
Sweet York, begin. And if thy claim be good, the Nevilles are thy subjects to command.
Then thus. Edward III, my lord, had 7 sons. The first, the Black Prince, died before his father and left behind him Richard, his only son, who, after Edward III's death, reigned as king. Till Henry Bolingbroke, the son and heir of John of Gaunt, the 4th of Edward's sons, seized on the realm, deposed the rightful king, sent his poor queen to France from whence she came, and him to Pomfret, where, as all you know, harmless Richard was murdered traitorously.
Father, the Duke of York hath told the truth, thus got the House of Lancaster the crown,
which now they hold by force and not by right. For Richard, the first son's heir, being dead, the issue of the next son should have reigned.
But William of Hatfield died without an heir.
The third son, Duke of Clarence, from whose line I claim the crown, had issue Philippa, a daughter, who married Edmund Mortimer, Earl of March. Edmund had issue Roger, Earl of March. Roger had issue Edmund, Anne, and Eleanor.
This Edmund, in the reign of Bolingbroke, as I have read, laid claim unto the crown, and therefore was kept captive till he died. But to the rest.
His eldest sister, Anne, my mother, being heir unto the crown, married Richard, Earl of Cambridge, who was son of Edmund Langley, Edward III's 5th son. By her, I claimed the kingdom. She was heir to Roger, Earl of March, who was son of Edmund Mortimer, who married Philippa, sole daughter unto Lionel, Duke of Clarence. So if the issue of the elder son succeed before the younger, I am king.
What plain proceeding is more plain than this? Henry doth claim the crown from John of Gaunt, the 4th son. York claims it from the 3rd. Till Lionel's issue fails, his should not reign. It fails not yet, but flourishes in thee, and in thy sons fair slips of such a stock. Then, Father Salisbury, kneel we together, and in this private plot be we the first that shall salute our rightful sovereign with honour of his birthright to the crown.
Long live our sovereign Richard, England's king.
We thank you, lords. But I am not your king till I be crowned, and my sword be stained with heart blood of the House of Lancaster. And that's not suddenly to be performed, but with advice and silent secrecy. Do you as I do in these dangerous days. Wink at the Duke of Suffolk's insolence, at Beaufort's pride, at Somerset's ambition, at Buckingham and all the crew of them, till they have snared the shepherd of the flock, the virtuous prince, the good Duke Comfrey. 'Tis that they seek, and they, in seeking that, shall find their deaths, if York can prophesy.
My lord, break off. We know your mind at full.
My heart assures me that the Earl of Warwick shall one day make the Duke of York
a king.
And Neville, this I do assure myself. Richard shall live to make the Earl of Warwick the greatest man in England, but the king.
Stand forth, Dame Eleanor Cobham, Gloucester's wife. In sight of God and us, your guilt is great. Receive the sentence of the law for sins such as by God's book are adjudged to death. You fall from hence to prison, back again. From thence unto the place of execution. The witch in Smithfield shall be burnt to ashes, and you three shall be strangled on the gallows. You, madam, for you are more nobly born, despoiled of your honour in your life, shall, after 3 days open penance done, live in your country here in banishment with Sir John Stanley in the Isle of Man.
Welcome is banishment. Welcome will my death.
Eleanor, the law thou seest hath judged thee. I cannot justify whom the law condemns. I beseech your majesty, give me leave to go. Sorrow would solace, and mine age would ease.
Stay, Humphrey, Duke of Gloucester. Ere thou go, give up thy staff. Henry will do himself protector thee. And God shall be my hope, my stay, my guide, and lantern to my feet. And go in peace, Humphrey. No less beloved than when thou wert protector to thy king.
I see no reason why a king of years should be to be protected like a child. God and King Henry govern England's helm. Give up your staff, sir, in the king's realm.
My staff. Here, noble Henry is my staff. As willingly do I the same resign, as erst thy father Henry made it mine. And even as willing at thy feet, I leave it. As others would ambitiously receive it. Farewell, good king. When I am dead and gone, may honorable peace attend thy throne.
Why? Now is Henry king, and Margaret queen. And Humphrey, Duke of Gloucester, scarce himself that bears so shrewd a mien. Two pulls at once, his lady banished and a limb lopped off. The staff of honour wrought. There let it stand where it best fits to be, in Henry's hand.
Thus droops this lofty pine and hangs his sprays. Thus Eleanor's pride dies in her youngest days.
Lords, let him go.
Please it, your majesty, this is the day appointed for the combat, and ready are the appellant and defendant, the armourer and his man, to enter the lists. So please it, your highness, to behold the fight.
Ay, good my lord, for purposely therefore left I the court to see this quarrel tried.
A God's name, see the lists and all things fit. Here let them end it, and God defend the right.
Here, neighbour honour, I drink to you in a cup of sack. And fear not, neighbour, you shall do well enough.
Dear neighbour, here's a cup of charnico.
And here's a pot of good double beer, neighbour. Drink and fear not your man.
There you can be faith, then I pledge you all. And a fig for Peter.
Peter, I drink to thee, and be not feared. Be merry, Peter, and fear not thy master. Fight for credit at the prentices.
Oh, I thank you all.
drink. And pray for me, I pray you, for I think I've taken my last draught in this world. Here, Robin. And if I die, I give thee my apron. Will, thou shalt have my hammer. And here, Tom, take all the money that I have. Oh, Lord bless me, I pray God, for I'm never able to deal with my master. You have learnt so much fence already.
Come, leave your drinking and fall to blows. Sir, what's thy name?
Peter, forsooth.
Peter, what more?
Thump.
Thump? Then see thou thump thy master well.
Masters, I am come hither, as it were, at my man's instigation, to prove him a knave and myself an honest man. And touching the Duke of York, I'll take my death. I'll never mend him any ill. Nor the king, nor the queen. And therefore, Peter, have at thee with a downright blow.
This knave's tongue begins to double. Sound trumpets. Alarm them to the combatants.
Hold, Peter! Hold! I confess treason!
Take away his weapon! Fellow, thank God and the good wine in thy master's way.
Have I overcome my enemies in this presence? Oh, Peter, thou hast prevailed in right.
Go take hence that traitor from our sight, for by his death we do perceive his guilt. And God in justice hath revealed to us the truth and innocence of this poor fellow, which he had thought to have murdered wrongfully. Come, fellow, follow us for thy reward.
Sometimes hath the brightest day a cloud, and after summer evermore succeeds barren winter with his wrathful nipping cold. So cares and joys abound as seasons fleet. Says, what's o'clock?
10, my lord.
10 is the hour that was appointed me to watch the coming of my punished duchess. Unheath may she endure the flinty streets, to tread them with her tender, feeling feet. Soft, methinks she comes, and I'll prepare my tear-stained eyes to see her miseries.
So please, your grace, we'll take her from the sheriff.
No, stir not for your lives. Let her pass by.
Come you, my lord, to see my open shame? Now thou dost penance too. Look how they gaze. See how the giddy multitude do point and nod their head and throw their eyes on thee. Ah, Gloucester, hide thee from their hateful looks, and in thy closet pent up rue my shame, and ban thine enemies, both mine and thine.
Be patient, gentle now, forget this grief.
Ah, Gloucester, teach me to forget myself. Trowest thou that e'er I'll look upon the world, or count them happy that enjoys the sun? No, dark shall be my light and night my day. To think upon my pomp shall be my hell. Sometime I'll say, I am Duke Humphrey's wife, and he a prince and ruler of the land. Yet so he ruled, and such a prince he was as he stood by, whilst I, his forlorn duchess, was made a wonder and a pointing stock to every idle rascal follower. But be thou mild, and blush not at my shame, nor stir at nothing till the axe of death hang over thee. Sure it shortly will. For Suffolk, he that can do all in all with her that hateth thee and hates us all, and York and impious Beaufort, that false priest, have all lined bushes to betray thy wings. And fly thou how thou canst, they'll tangle thee. But fear not thou, until thy foot be snared, nor never seek prevention of thy foes.
Now forbear. Thou aimest all aright. I must offend before I be attainted. And had I 20 times so many foes, and each of them had 20 times their power, all these could not procure me any scathe, so long as I am loyal, true, and crimeless. Yet thy scandal were not wiped away, but I in danger for the breach of law. Thy greatest help is quiet, gentle now. I pray thee, sort thy heart of patience. These few days' wonder will be quickly worn.
I summon your grace to his majesty's parliament, holden at Bury, the first of this next month.
And my consent ne'er asked herein before. This is close dealing.
Well, I will be there.
I know. I take my leave. And Master Sheriff, let not her penance exceed the King's commission.
And please your grace, here my commission stays, and Sir John Stanley is appointed now to take her with him to the Isle of Man.
Must you, Sir John, protect my lady here?
So am I given in charge. May it please your grace.
Entreat her not the worse, in that I pray you use her well. The world may laugh again, and I may live to do you kindness if you do it her. And so, Sir John, farewell.
What's gone, my lord, and bid me not farewell?
Witness my tears. I cannot stay to speak.
Thou gone too. All comfort go with thee, for none abides with me. My joy is death. Death at whose name I oft have been afeared because I wished this world's eternity.
Stanley, I prithee go and take me hence. I care not whither, for I beg no favor. Only convey me where thou art commanded. Sheriff, farewell, and better than I fare, although thou hast been conduct of my shame.
It is my office. Madam, pardon me.
Aye, farewell. Thy office is discharged. Come, Stanley, shall we go?
Madam, your penance done. Throw off this sheet, and go we to attire you for our journey.
My shame will not be shifted with my sheet. No, it will hang upon my richest robes and show itself. Attire me how I can. Go, lead the way. I long to see my prison.